The scripture reading today is from 1 Corinthians chapter 12, starting at verse 4 and going through to verse 14, and then the next chapter, just one verse. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but the same God works all of them in all men. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one there is given through the Spirit the message of wisdom. To another, the message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by that one Spirit. To another, miraculous powers. To another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing between spirits. And to another, speaking in different kinds of tongues. And to still another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are the same work of one and the same Spirit, and he gives them to each one just as he determines. The body is a unit, though it has made up of many parts, and though all its parts are many, they form one body. And so it is with Christ, for we were all baptized by one Spirit into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, slave or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Now the body is not made of one part, but of many. And then in chapter 13, verse 8, it says, Love never fails, but where there are prophecies, they will cease, and where there are tongues, they will be stilled, and where there is knowledge, it will pass away.
Good morning. Hi. For those of you who don't know me, I'm Reuben, and welcome to PBC. And a big warm welcome to those who are joining us online. It's great to meet people that are just tuning in. Some people have tuned in for 6 months before they actually rock up, and it's really special. And I just want to talk about the theme that we've been talking about this year, about being at the table. We started in March talking about being at the table with Jesus. And in the last 2 weeks, we've been talking about being at the table with each other. And so 2 weeks ago, let's just give it a second. One more time. Yeah, all right. 2 weeks ago, Colleen shared about our identities and how we belong unconditionally at the table because God has made us his children. We belong. And last week, Steve spoke about following the example of Jesus, following his example of having the posture of a servant, how he acted in humility, in dependence, and in faithfulness. And this morning, I'd just like to talk about the posture of seeing each other as we sit at the table. Before that, I'd just like you to watch a video, a really short one.
An event seen from one point of view gives one impression. Seen from another point of view, it gives quite a different impression. But it's only when you get the whole picture you can fully understand what's going on.
I'm just going to play that again if that was too fast.
An event seen from one point of view gives one impression. Seen from another point of view, it gives quite a different impression. But it's only when you get the whole picture you can fully understand what's going on.
All right. Can anyone tell me, so for the benefit of those who may not have been able to see that as clearly, who was the person that the video started with? What sort of person was he? Sorry, a guy? It's a good start. So it wasn't a very sharp video. This was from 1986, and this was an advertisement from the Guardian newspaper in the UK. It was a skinhead. And so for those of you who don't know, you know, a skinhead back in 86. I don't know, do we still have skinheads? I'm not sure. It's not a thing anymore, is it? Yeah, the hair is just longer. They've grown up, maybe. They found Jesus. So, essentially, you could say it could be a rough person, I think, just to really cut it all short. And the first scene shows him running towards a man rather aggressively. And when you look at the next angle, it really looks like he's going to push him. But in the third frame, you see that he was pushing him out of danger. And I just want you to remember that as we talk about seeing each other, as we sit at the table with each other, do not assume anything until you've got perspective. And so I want to share this morning about the most excellent way to see each other. And so I'm going to introduce you to Quentin. Because it's not offensive to anyone. If there are any aliens here, I'm just sorry. I don't know what the word would be. I'm not picking on anyone, right? And so Quentin has just got saved. He's been reading the Bible with someone at PBC. Let's not go into the theology of that, okay? This is just an example. And he wants to really become part of the PBC family. You know, he's desperate. But how? He's absolutely clueless about church. What is he supposed to do during worship? Any clues? Close your eyes, raise your hands, sing as if you know the song, even if it's a new song, right? Must you close your eyes when you pray? How do you know that? Who told you? If he notices a newcomer in the foyer, what should he do? Welcome. Who told you that? If he sees a mess on the floor, if he sees a leaf blower in the foyer, sorry. If his whole family is sick, what could he do? Sorry? Ask for prayer. Yeah. And if he lets people know, like someone could actually cook a meal for him even. So the question was, how did you know all these answers? Did someone tell you? And I think part of the answer is that we have culture in this church, whether or not we know it. We often talk about talking to a fish, and if you ask the fish, how's the water? And the fish would go, what's water? Right? It's something that's invisible. It's something around us. But I want to remind us that it's forming us, it's shaping us. Things that we don't even realize, things that we don't necessarily identify, it is forming us in our culture. And in this season, we really want to pay close attention to culture because, as you know, God's been doing amazing things in people's lives. We've had people walk into church saying, God's been talking to me. What do I do now? I don't have a church background. Almost alien, right? This culture can be quite alien. So we want to be intentional. As we've noticed that the numbers are increasing, we're going to see an increase in diversity in people. And when you have more people in the room, it can feel less personal. In really large churches, you can slip in and slip out and no one will know. And we don't want to ever lose that in this church. So it's really important to start identifying things about our culture that we really want to grow and maybe things that we might want to do a bit less of so that we maintain the family. And I also want to remind us that we're not simply about resisting the culture of today, but instead, we need to look a bit higher. We need to look above, and we need to look at what God says about what is good. Have you heard the analogy, if you aim for the moon, you might hit an eagle? Have you heard that one? Okay, so anyway, I just want us to look as high as we can to get God's perspective on a beautiful picture of culture. And so what was read earlier was from 1 Corinthians 12 and 1 Corinthians 13. 1 Corinthians 13 is really famous, and we're going to read these verses together. I hope it's large enough. So together with me, love is patient, love is kind, it does not envy, it does not boast, it is not proud. It does not dishonor others, it is not self-seeking, it is not easily angered, it keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. Can we demonstrate love in this way? Can this be our culture? I truly believe that when we choose love as our highest goal, God will bless us with the gifts that we need across anything that we face. And I used to read both chapter 12 and chapter 13 as if just choose love. Love is so much more important, as if they were opposites. But what I would like to suggest is that gifts need to operate in love because we need all the help that we can get to face very complex times. And so we're going to look at 1 Corinthians 12 first, just to understand what was going on. Why was Paul writing about these topics? And so I'll share four things about 1 Corinthians 12. The first is that many of the early believers, they were really impressed by powerful public spiritual gifts. And many came from pagan backgrounds. So you'd be observing people who just had words of knowledge, people who knew what was happening without anyone telling them. There were miracles, healings, prophecy. There were apostles, teachers, and prophets. It was all really impressive. But what I want to remind us is that having a gift is not a measure of spiritual maturity. It's not just character, and it's not an expression of your personality. Having a gift is not your identity. It's a gift for the common good and to really serve others. So if I impress you in the sermon today, please realize that that's not a measure of my spiritual maturity. But there is a little bit of a mindset today that the most popular preachers in the church, the most popular personalities in the world, they exert greater influence because we start to believe that those are really, they've got it all together. And I assure you, it doesn't work that way. So we have a celebrity culture today, and one of the dangers of that is that when people have a big platform, they can choose what they want to show you, and you know that they're really good people. And a word that's overused is authenticity. It goes around on social media, in the videos that we watch, videos designed to make you cry and feel something. And when people just start giving money on video, have you seen those? They just start giving hundreds and thousands of dollars away on the street. Is that authentic? All right? They're making money from your views. I have a Facebook version of my life too. How come my kids are always smiling in my Facebook photos? Because you haven't seen the 97 photos of them crying and trying to get out of the frame and not wanting to take a photo. Right? So just, it's pretty superficial. But I think something I've struggled with is that I've stood at the front of a church for a big part of my life. And people who hold a mic are often regarded as more together, more holy. And that's absolutely not true. We are all equal and we face the same challenges. So I just hope to put it out there that, you know, if standing here does not elevate you, and that it should also not deter you from using your gifts to glorify God. So let's talk about assumptions. Who do you see? Who are they? Are they related? You would assume that. Let's not assume anything. I've seen a family like that. I used to train people in the travel in the airline industry, and I once saw a family like this walk into the first class suites of a, which would be talking $10,000 to $20,000 per plane ticket, right? So just from the way people have dressed, if they're dressed simply, they could have a lot of money. If they're dressed poorly, they could also have a lot of money, right? And if they're dressed very well, they may not have any money. So it's not about money. Just don't assume based on what you see. It happens when we see someone walk into church. If they walk in alone, have they left family at home? Is family sick? We just don't know. We need to connect with people, but very much like a lifeguard, you know, in a very busy place, as this church gets busier, we need to train our eyes to look out for those who are silently drowning. How long does it take to drown? 20 seconds? A child can drown in less than 20 seconds in a few centimeters of water. And I feel like in our hearts, in the same way, there could be people who are really struggling around us. We need to really train our eyes to see, but don't assume, right? On the other hand, from the people who could be invisible, there are people who really stand out a lot. I think one of the observations in Sydney is that there has been a lot of rejection, whether it's within a family, an organization. And sometimes people learn in life that in order to get attention because of all the rejection, they have to act up. Sometimes they do things to get our attention. And so I believe there are other people who are gifted in dealing and loving these people well. Can you see how we need gifts to work with people like that? And so I want to just want to say, to repeat that one of the main indicators of spiritual maturity is love. It's not your gifting. It really comes down to love. Okay, so the second thing in 1 Corinthians 12 is that there are many different gifts, many different forms of service, many different paths that people go through to connect with God, many different manifestations of the Holy Spirit for the common good. But we are all part of the same body. There are many parts of the body, right? There are many gifts, different kinds of service, different ways that God works in us. And regardless of all of this, we are one body. We are the body of Christ. Even if you feel that someone else is not, right? God has made us all different on purpose. In verse 17, this is what I think of when, if the whole body were an eye, we might not be able to hear so well. But to go further with that, sometimes we think that unity looks like we need to all talk the same, dress the same. If I were to write a song and I made all the notes the same, how would the song sound? If they're all identical. And so in music, we rely on lower notes to keep the structure, keep the beat. The middle notes give us repetition and harmonies that just hold the song together, like the glue. And the high notes, they pierce the ceilings of our imagination and they make us feel emotions. So if you see a musical note that's different to you, remember that they are really important too. Because as a body, we really need one another. There's so much to be said about that. And the third thing that we see in 1 Corinthians 12 is that even the parts that are less honorable, we honor, we treat them specially because we are equal. It really goes against the culture of our culture today of what's in it for me. I just want to describe relationships, right? So we've got A on one side and we've got B. If you have a mathematical or maybe an engineering brain, the most straightforward way to get from A to B is to draw a straight line. Have you ever been in a relationship? This describes a lot of life, right? I just had to just drop in an extra option of C, a 2, random Chinese word, because that means flower, and maybe you end up at B. It kind of describes many things in life. It could be education, could be your character, it could be, I'm just saying that it's not a straight line. It's wildly inefficient. Are there people who value efficiency around here? Some of the engineers in the room? Some nods? Sorry, I've got to break it to you, but that's how it happens. Relationships are wildly, wildly inefficient. And this is what we're going into. But people will feel seen when we listen to them and when we give them time. Because a house that's built on love will always be full. Here's another shout out to the Park Ministry who serve the homeless in Parramatta every Sunday. We serve those who are overlooked in our society or even in our own foyer. I love watching few people who will always spot newcomers and just give them time. Let's keep on doing that. If you're new, you're alien to this place, and you want to make this your family, that's what we do here. We look out for those who are new, and we invite them in. I also love how children are welcome and honored in this church. My kids now love coming to the evening service because they feel so accepted and loved by people much older than them. It's just amazing. And so you remember how Jesus asked us to have faith like a child, to come to him, or let the little children come to him. That's what it's about. And the last point from 1 Corinthians 12 is that we should have equal concern for one another. If one part suffers, all suffer, because there should be no division in the body. In verse 25, it says that we rejoice together, we suffer together, because we are the body of Christ. If another person goes through a crisis, we hurt for them. If another church goes through a crisis, we hurt for them too. And if people do well, we celebrate with them. If another church really has a big win and they do really well, we celebrate too. And so one of the values I've observed at PBC is that we do not speak poorly of other churches or movements because we are part of the same body of Christ. So let's keep that up. It's interesting because, you know, I've been here 2 years and I'm still finding the words for invisible things, and those are some of the reflections. And so, more importantly, how do we bridge the gap of the culture that Paul talks about in 1 Corinthians 13 in the most excellent way? So I've just got 3 things about the most excellent way. And the first thing is something that anyone and everyone can do. We can choose to love. Through our actions, invite someone for a meal, walk across the room, break that comfort zone that you're in, get involved with Hospitality Sundays, and that's a 10:45 thing, and that's happening next week. But why not just invite someone to your house, get involved in serving others, rosters ready for the next term. If you see a need, be the answer, right? You are the answer to some of the problems that we see. The next thing is about empathy. Do you guys know what empathy is? Yeah, what is it? Your pain in my heart, that's a brilliant description. It's also been described as stepping in the shoes of someone else, or stepping in their moccasins, and walk many miles in them until you feel what they feel and to see what they see. That can be learned. If that does not come naturally to you, we can learn it. And on the other hand, if you have too much of it, you need to tone it down and not feel every burden. And that leads me to the second thing that we can do. We need the Holy Spirit. We need to be filled. If not, you're going to be rushing to every fire to put it out if you've got too much empathy in your heart and you're going to burn out. You have to be led by the Spirit. It's non-negotiable. If you're in Christ, you are a new creation, and we have access. We are filled with the Holy Spirit. It is not a competition of good works. And how do we be filled with the Holy Spirit? In John 15, it says, we abide in Him. We are one with Him. So, don't burn out, right? The third point is that we absolutely need the gifts. Because we live in a very complex world. There are impossible situations. We need wisdom. We need the gift of insight. We need discernment to know what to do in really tricky situations. There's no way we would know what's going on in someone's life. We need the Holy Spirit to lead us, and we need the gifts for that. Healing. We absolutely do need healing in impossible situations. So, like I said before, I used to read chapter 12 and 13 separately as if I choose love over gifts. But how about we use gifts in love always? They're not separate, they're all together. Just want to share, in 2019, I was driving along in Singapore, and I felt God drop a word into my heart. I'm not sure if that's ever happened to you. It bypassed my brain. And the words that bypassed my brain were this: I want culture more than community. And because the words bypassed my brain, I wasn't thinking about it, but immediately there were tears dripping down my cheeks. And I slowly started to understand that God cares so much more about how we are shaped and how we are formed by culture, more than the programs or the groups that you could be part of. That changes. Community is really important because we sit at the table with each other. But culture is imprinted on your heart. And if the programs change, if your church changes, if you move to another country, you take that culture with you wherever you go. So don't get me wrong, community is important, but culture is really what God cares about. That becomes our identity. It becomes how we know what is upside down and what is true and what is false. And so I believe that our church is really coming into a time of unprecedented unity, even as we grow in numbers and diversity. But we need to keep an eye on the culture. It's not just this invisible thing of how people know what to do without being told. And we need all the help we can get. We need to choose love. We need to be filled with the Spirit, and we do need gifts that operate out of love. And so I believe that, you know, to really bring it together, when we choose love as our highest goal, God really will bless us with all the gifts we need to see each other in the way that He sees us, and to really let people be seen for who they are. And so, for the past two nights, God's been giving me this picture of someone who has actually managed to escape and walk away from a very challenging circumstance that is even linked to crime. I know this is pretty out there, but I feel that God wants to minister to you this morning. So we're going to have a prayer team at the end of the service out the front. And if that's you, do come forward. But for everyone else, if you have difficulty seeing other people, or if you yourself feel not seen, if you feel invisible or lonely in this place, I just really want to invite you also at the end to come forward, because I know that God is doing something powerful, transformative, that's beyond our own abilities. This is the season, and we really want to do it well. Can I pray for us? Shall we stand? Get the worship team to come up. Father, our hearts are yours. We truly desire to reflect the love, the perfect love that you are in our community, that lives will be transformed as we are led by your Spirit. Won't you help us, please, Lord? As we are vulnerable, as we put ourselves out there out of love and not out of pride, Lord, won't you enable and empower us to be the light, to be the salt, and really to be your hands and feet as you empower us in ways beyond our wildest dreams, Lord, that we will really bring you glory, because you deserve all the glory. In Jesus' name, amen.